we would not have a Savior. We would not have a hope of heaven, and we would not have a future. And that's one of the big points that I took from camp. So thank you, Pastor Rob.
Well, it seems like every time you, there are times, I'm not going to lie to you, there's times when you're working with teenagers that you think, maybe I'm done. Right? Colleen said, right. Sometimes you think, man, maybe, surely there's probably somebody else that God can use a whole lot better than this couple here. But then we get to go to camp and we watch what God's doing, and it reminds us that, oh, no, wait, Rob, it's not you. It's Christ working through a group of people. And when we get to come back and we see what takes place and we begin to see teenagers, guys and girls, fall deeper in love with Christ, it's incredible to be a part of. And then, you know, I mean, there is a sense of pride, but I think it's a pride of Christ saying, you know what, that's good stuff. Yeah. Right, Clayton? It's good stuff when we see people come back on fire for the Lord and know that it was Christ working through a lot of different people to make that happen. And so I want to challenge the church tonight, and teenagers especially, I want everybody to go to Romans chapter 5. Now, our theme verse was from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want you to go there too, but I want you to grab Romans chapter 5. That's where we're going to be. So once you get Romans 5, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And church, I couldn't tell you how proud, I don't think I can put into words how proud I am of the teenagers in our youth group. I know they face a lot of trials, and I know that they fail, and they're not perfect, as well as the rest of us. But I know that these teenagers, I watch them bring friends to church. I watch them be honest with their friends and let their friends know that they're not perfect, but they love Christ, and they want to follow after Christ, and sometimes they struggle. And when you get to sit in a cabin of guys and listen to them share their heart with their friends and new friends, we had a lot of new teenagers come out to camp this year, and when they're able to sit and talk in front of a guy that they haven't known but for a couple of days and let them know the struggles that they have in Christ, and you begin to see the other ones vocalize the same thing and like, man, I thought it was just me. Now, I have that same issue. I go through that same struggle. Then it's so neat to see how our teens truly are becoming unashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, and what we looked at, one of the things we talked about at camp was, you know, when Paul was converted there in Acts 9, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And what we see all the way through here to 2 Timothy chapter 1 is that he never compromised his faith, and he never stepped back and thought, you know what, I think I am in the right spot, because he wrote to the Philippians, just like AJ mentioned, and said, I haven't attained. And so here toward the end of his life, look what he writes. I want to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we're going to go back over to Romans 5. But he says, starting in verse 8, he tells Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He puts the Lord first, and then he says, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And then verse 12, teens, read it with me. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul had a complete and total confidence in who Jesus Christ was and what he did and what he could do. And that led him to be unashamed in his life. Now go back over to Romans, because I want you to see this. Has there ever been a time in your life that you were ashamed to tell somebody about something you believed? Think about when you were a kid and maybe there was that childhood fantasy that you were told was, you know, like in December or around Easter time, that was this real thing or real person, and you finally came to a knowledge where you realized you didn't think it was, but you were ashamed to tell people that you once thought it was. Well, see, here on the other side, it ought to be completely different. Is once we know Christ is our Lord and Savior, we should never be ashamed to tell anybody, because there's nothing wrong in what we believe and who Christ was and who he is and what he's going to do. And I want you to see what Paul says here in Romans chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And look at verse 5. And hope maketh what? Not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, when we have complete and total faith in Christ, like Paul was able to really pin over there in 2 Timothy, I mean, he laid out clearly, I know whom I believe, and that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Paul had a complete faith in who Christ was and what he did. And really, should we not? When we look at the cross and we know what Christ went through upon that cross, being a perfect, sinless person, and then was put into a tomb and 3 days later rose again, is there any reason why we shouldn't have complete and total confidence in who Christ is? There's not. In fact, when we were talking to the teens out at camp, I know that sometimes we battle with struggles of, okay, is it really true? I mean, did it really happen? Let's just think about a couple things. If the Romans decided to hide the body to shut up the Jews, then how could they have shut up the Jews ultimately? Produce the body. They couldn't do it. Nobody ever did. But then on the other side, you say, well, okay, the Jews could have hid the body to try to convince the Romans and the Gentiles and also the believing Jews of the Old Testament that, okay, Christ, you know, he did rise. And so they hid it. They hid the body to try to prove that. But I tell you what, when it comes to you putting my family on the line and putting my family through misery and torturing my family and killing my family, somebody eventually would have said, okay, here it is. We lied. But they couldn't, because they knew what they believed, because they knew that Christ had risen, because they'd seen the risen Savior. You know, so we think about those things, and there's absolutely no reason for us to wonder if Christ came to the earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again, because there's no doubt that he did. And if you believe that, then there's nothing to be ashamed of. And that's why Paul was used of God to write 13 books of the Bible, and then there in that last book, when he's getting ready to be martyred, is able to say, hey, I know who I believe. Don't be ashamed of him, and don't be ashamed of me as prisoner either. In fact, partake in those tribulations and those persecutions. And I want you to see here in Romans, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You see, every Christian can have an unashamed hope. Every Christian can have a faith and not be ashamed because they have a hope. I want to read a verse for you. For the sake of time, you don't have to flip over there. But over in Titus chapter 2, Paul said this in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You know, Paul was telling Titus, say, hey, we've got something to look forward to. We have a hope, which is an earnest expectation, which is we know that Christ is going to return, and so we're looking for that return. And because I'm looking for that return, I know whom I believe. I can live my life in an unashamed faith. That's what Paul was doing. And he said here in Romans, it's a hope that maketh not ashamed. Does your hope make you unashamed of the gospel? Because if your hope is strong enough and it's true enough, then it should make you unashamed of the gospel of Christ. It should make you unashamed of everything that is printed right here in God's word. And there's no reason to be ashamed. Because I want to give you three things tonight. There's three reasons why you should not have to be ashamed of the hope in Christ. And we see them right here in this text. There's three things outlined that we have, and because we have them, we should never be ashamed. Number one, because you have an unlimited access. Look what Paul said in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have what? Access. Has there ever been anything in your life that you didn't have access to but you really wanted? I remember, and I don't remember where I was, but I was out of town, and Colleen was home with the kids. I don't think Gracie was born yet. It was just Jake and Olivia. And somehow Olivia, I don't think she intended to do it because she was only probably 3 years old, locked her little brother in the van while Colleen and Olivia were outside of the van. She wanted access to that van. There was Jacob in the little car seat, you know, I mean, he's less than a year old. 2 months old, locked in the car seat in Florida, and sometime in the summer, because I was gone, I was on a mission trip, and so I wasn't available, and she wanted access to that van, and she was willing to do whatever it took to gain access to that van. You know, access to God is available. It's been available since creation, and if you think about it, there's a lot of things that man wants access to. And really the one and the greatest thing to have access to has already been provided. God and man, man had complete and total access to God in the garden until man chose to disobey God. And that access was interrupted because of sin. Sin created a barrier. But God being the grace-loving God, I mean, Adam, you nailed it when you talked about God's grace. Because it was God's grace that enabled there to be an access for man again. Because man was never going to be able to do anything. Just like Colleen couldn't do anything to get him out of the van. She finally had to call on somebody who had the ability to gain access to the van. She called the police. And they were able to come and get the van open so that Jake could be, you know, released. But the thing is she, there was nothing she could do. She had to call on somebody. And for us, there's nothing we can do to have access to the Creator of all things. But he provided it, and we only have to call on it. We call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. And with that salvation comes an incredible amount. In fact, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we know that Jesus is the access. In fact, and you're in Romans, just flip forward just a couple books to Ephesians. I want you to see two verses over there. Look at the access that we're given because of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians 2:18, and it says, for through him, the him is Jesus Christ, we both have what? Access by one Spirit unto who? The Father. We have access to the Father because of Christ. Go over to Ephesians 3, verse 12. This is a good one here. You want to talk about being unashamed? Look what Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 12. In whom, the whom is Jesus Christ, we have boldness and what? Access with confidence. By the faith of him. You see, we've been given an access to Christ, to God through Christ. We've been given an access to the Creator of all things. We've been given an access that none of us deserve, none of us can earn, and none of us will ever find except for through Jesus Christ. And by faith in Christ, you're granted access to two things I want you to take notice of here in this text. Look at with me, and he says here in Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, verse 2, by whom we also have access by faith into this what? Grace. We have access to the grace of God. Grace is from God. And his offer of life and eternity is nothing that we deserve. It's completely by grace. The grace is to be a place where the believer stands and serves. He says there, wherein to the grace wherein we stand. Having a firm foundation, knowing that it's not by my works, but what Christ has done. It's not by anything I can do, but what God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so it's by God's grace. Romans 6:1 tells us about this grace. He says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. No, if I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I ought to take that grace and use it for his glory. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, if you're taking notes, write fast. If you're flipping pages, flip faster. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, look what Paul says here to the church. He says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It wasn't without purpose and without cause. I've done something with it, and I've used it for a purpose to glorify him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. I love this verse. Paul talks about the grace of God that is dealing with our ministry and the serving the Lord. He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God, what? In vain. Don't do it without point. Don't waste it. Do not neglect the access that you have of God's grace. Take a stand on it, plant your feet on it, and let other people see as you serve in God's grace. You have access to that grace. But then we also have access to the glory of God. Back in Romans 5, verse 2, he says, we rejoice, our access wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That hope is that looking forward to. The fact that I'm going to be able to stand in the very presence of God's glory one day. Right now I'm standing in the presence of the world system, which is nothing glorious. But the Bible tells me that I have a blessed hope because my glorious Savior is going to appear, and I'll be able to be with him in heaven one day. And because of that, I have access to God's glory. Not anything I've done, but what he's done. And because of Christ, I have access. I can stand unashamed of the gospel of Christ because it gives me unlimited access to my Savior, to the Creator, God's grace, God's glory, I don't have to worry about trying to earn any of it. I may live in this present evil world system, and as Paul said, the sufferings of this present life are not to be compared which to the what? The glory, which shall be revealed. Because that glory has been promised to me because of what Christ has done. I have an unlimited access. But the second reason that I should live unashamed of this hope of Christ and of my hope in Him is because I have an unreal peace. Back in verse 1, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. People are always looking for access, but something else people are always looking for is peace. And it's only found in one place. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only way to have peace, truly, something that everybody seems to look for and want in their lives, is simply through Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith. Nothing I've done. And so there's so much here in this single verse. He says, justified of our sins by faith. No work being involved. We heard it this morning. The work that needed to be done was completed over 2,000 years ago in Calvary. Because of that work, we can now be justified by faith of what Christ did. We don't have to go back and pay, you know, in the Old Testament law where they had to go back and produce sacrifices time and time and time again. It was one and done. Jesus Christ came and lived the sinless, perfect life. And it's only by faith that God required that we have that unlimited access and now peace with God. You know, serving Christ in our daily lives, you're going to face trials. Jesus told the disciples in John 15:16, he says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Hated me first. So if you're going to love and serve and follow after me and be unashamed, it's going to bring some trials, but guess what? I offer you real peace. The trials you face now are not going to be anything compared to the glory that will be revealed. Paul told the Romans here in verse 3 that there were going to be trials. Look at Romans 5:3 where we are. Paul says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. And can we wrap our mind around that? We glory in tribulations. We're enjoying them. We're excited about them. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience and experience hope. The more I go through, the more I see Christ just working in and through me in those situations, regardless of what's going on, the more confidence I have in who He is and what He's done, the greater my hope and the greater my ability to be more unashamed. You know, if you're honest, today you're probably less ashamed of Christ as you were 10 years ago because you grew. As we grow, we have more confidence. And the things that maybe there was a time when maybe we wouldn't bow our head in a restaurant to pray, now we will. We're less ashamed than we once were. And every time we get in God's Word and we grow, we become more unashamed, understanding the true peace that we have that comes with Christ. And as we go through trials, we see God getting just bigger and bigger in our lives as we allow Him to grow us. And so we're unashamed of Christ and that hope that is going to come because of Christ, because of that unlimited access, the unreal peace, and finally the third thing we'll see here, because you have an unconditional love. Look what he says in verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Why does the hope make not ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That love of God is something I don't think we truly understand. In fact, go over to 1 John chapter 4. This is the last place I'll probably have you turn. 1 John chapter 4, I want you to see here. The love of God is something we don't fully grasp. I don't think so. He says, beloved, in verse 7, 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. I think we all struggle with that one right there. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. God is love. And now look at verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I lied. Go back over to Romans 5 one more time. Because there's a love that I don't think we totally comprehend. It's that complete selflessness when we say, you know what? Your needs are far more important than my needs. and I am concerned with your needs so much to where I'm willing to give up the most important things to my life. Do you realize that's what God did? The Father said, your need of redemption is important to me. You don't deserve it, but it's important to me. And in fact, I'm going to give the greatest thing that I've got, and I've only got one of them, and that's my son. And I'm going to give him up so that you can have justification. In verse 8, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's an unconditional love that didn't say, okay, once you deserve it, I'll provide it. Unconditional means no matter what, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, I love you anyway. And the love that I share with you is the love that I want you to be able to share with others. And the reason you don't need to be ashamed of me is because I love you unconditionally. You can go out and you can tell somebody all about Jesus Christ, and if they don't like it and they're ashamed and they don't want to hear about it, you can say, but you know what? My Savior's not ashamed of it, and he's not ashamed of me. And I've done some pretty wicked things, but he loved me anyway. And God commendeth his love toward me, and that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. It's an unconditional love. And because of that, if I remember the fact that I have an unlimited access, an unreal peace, and an unconditional love that comes from Christ and my relationship with him, then I have no reason to be ashamed. To let people know who Christ is and what he's done in my life. I can glory in those tribulations. I can glory when I share Christ genuinely with somebody. And you know what? If you truly share Christ with somebody and they reject it, your heart breaks a little bit for that. But at the same time, you can glory a little bit when they condemn you or something else and say, Lord, it's for your purpose, but Lord, I hope that somebody else will get into that heart. Maybe I can just break the ground a little bit and soften it up, Lord, so that the next person can come and plant the seed and then somebody else water. But Lord, I know you'll bring the increase. You know, if you think about what man seeks the most, he seeks access to the inaccessible, peace and the unpeaceful, and to be loved unconditionally. All three of those are found in one place.